Business in the Okanagan matters. This is Law Talk with lawyers Clay Williams and Tanveer Gill from FH&P Lawyers LLP. They talk business and take your questions at podcast@fhplawyers.com. Now, here's Clay Williams.
Welcome to another episode of FH&P Lawyers Law Talk. I'm Clay Williams. I'm a partner here, and with me is Tanveer Gill, an associate. Welcome, Tanveer.
Hi, Clay.
Been a busy week.
It's insane. This is probably, is it one of our busiest weeks of the year? I want to say it is.
And you're talking from the conveyancing end, I guess.
Yeah, real estate is insane.
Yeah, which is interesting because, we hear about an economic slowdown, but you're not seeing it, I guess, from your practice, eh?
I think it is probably a tad bit slower than it has been years before, for sure. But I mean, it's still busy. Like, there's still deals rolling in. It's still keeping us busy. But yeah, I think in comparison, it is going to slow down a bit.
So with us today is Kevin Chung. Kevin is a litigator with our firm. Welcome, Kevin.
Hi, Clay. Hi, Tanveer.
Hi, Kevin.
So we thought today what we'd do is we kind of have a bit of a free-ranging discussion about things that are kind of current topics that might intersect with a litigator's perspective. So, Kevin, you are a civil litigator, right?
Yes.
And one of your specialties is, as I understand it, is personal injury.
Yes, yep.
Boy, that's a changing industry. I mean, you know, I think we have to start with ICBC, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy with the changes. There essentially is no more ICBC tort-based system, meaning the lawsuits against a defendant driver.
So basically, you're hurt in a car crash, you're not able to sue anymore.
Yeah, it's entirely a no-fault system now, meaning that you're dealing with ICBC and in terms of accessing benefits and medical treatment. There's nobody else to deal with or no other claim to be advanced other than against ICBC.
Well, okay, so one of the questions I get from my clients, I still get people calling me and saying, you know, I was in a car crash. Sorry you're hurt, but now you have to deal with this system that's been put into place. It's kind of like WCB. Mm-hmm. Is there any role for a lawyer anymore in the new system?
I think there is. It's still a fairly intimidating process to go through as a person coming off of an accident. A lawyer could assist you in guiding you through the accident benefits system. And if there is a denial of benefits, they could guide you through the dispute resolution process. They just wouldn't be able to actually represent you in the tribunal process.
Well, what is this tribunal? Tell me about it.
It's the Civil Resolutions Tribunal, and it's designed to operate essentially without lawyers and dispute various types of issues. So there's...
It sounds unfair. I mean, come on. So you're telling me you go into the CRT, you don't bring a lawyer, and you're up against ICBC.
That's
like a professional litigant. I mean, it just seems like it's everything's stacked against you.
Yes, that's one way to look at it. It can be, like I said before, incredibly intimidating. That's where a lawyer could assist you in trying to show you the steps for disputing benefit denials.
So, Kevin, if we can't bring car crash claims anymore, what other claims can you do beyond that?
Well, car crash claims strictly deal with ICBC. There are other injuries that people suffer on a daily basis that can be dealt with through the courts. So oftentimes people have what we call slip and falls, mm-hmm. and some of them can result in pretty significant injuries.
And I guess I just want to break in there. Yeah. When you say slip and falls, that's what lawyers group a vast number of injuries. It doesn't have to be a slip and fall. It could be a slip down the stairs. It could be a slip up stairs. It could be fall down an elevator shaft.
Fall down an open crawl space.
Yes.
Famous case, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, basically any type of injury where somebody could be potentially at fault.
Correct, yeah, on somebody's property.
That didn't occur in a car.
Correct, yes.
Or a minivan.
And so sometimes these falls or these events have pretty significant injuries, and it's good to have representation or to at least speak to a lawyer to help you understand what your rights are and what the processes are to advance any claims you might have against somebody that might be liable.
To get paid.
Getting paid isn't the only reason to hire a lawyer or to consult with a lawyer. Oftentimes the lawyers are connected with various treatment providers, or they have knowledge of the medical system at least, and they can direct you in to the right places to get the appropriate treatments. So,
and I think it's really important to point out that you're in an adversarial system, and you're going up against almost all the time, you're going up against an insurance company, a professional litigant. They know what they're doing, and so it's really important to seek a lawyer out, I think, in those situations.
Yes, agreed.
The whole thing about the grocery store, that's a tough case. I mean, you know, you're not automatically entitled to compensation because you hurt yourself in a grocery store, and certainly a grocery store can put into place a proper inspection regime and avoid liability. So, so that's pretty tough. That's a real role for a lawyer there to find out, I think, if there's something there.
Yes. I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
You said that your real estate transactions are still close to peak levels. Are you seeing any more and more collapsed deals because of the increasing interest rates?
Surprisingly.
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah. No, not yet. So I haven't seen anything collapse because somebody said, oh, well, you know what? Never mind. I don't really want to move forward because interest rates are crazy. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people that got into the market early and now they have a higher interest rate, but they still think it's fine. A lot of people that are still going variable, which is kind of, there's no right or wrong way to do it, but I'm just shocked to see
that's
so many variable.
Move.
Yeah, variable rates. But yeah, I haven't seen anyone yet in my practice that's like, never mind, I don't want to move forward.
So I've seen like three or four different files come in where there's been a deal that's collapsed, the deposit has been paid, the subjects have
removed.
All been removed.
Yeah.
And so the question is, as a buyer, can I get my deposit back? Mm-hmm. Or as the seller, can I get that deposit?
Yeah. Okay, my gut instinct is telling me as the seller, they can keep the deposit. And now because interest rates are going insane and the market isn't the same, they could sue for damages, right? Because they're maybe not going to be 50 offers on their one house compared to 3 or 4 months ago when they had that offer come in and accepted it. They might have had a bit of a competition happening.
Right. And so those damages would be the drop in price.
Yeah, drop in price. The market's changed. There
aren't
as many willing. Yeah,
too. You know,
there
aren't
as many willing buyers.
It's tougher to sell right now. So it's, you know, the damages for breach of contract are to make you whole, right?
Yeah.
As if the contract hadn't happened. So now those damages can be very significant.
The worst I had was a client that called to say, okay, I could remove subjects now. What's going to happen if I just don't pay my deposit? And so I said, they could still claim the deposit because at this point it's payable because they had to remove subjects. They removed subjects. They had 48 hours to place a deposit. So they said, okay, we've removed it. What if we just don't pay the deposit now? And I said, they can still come after you because at this point your deposit's payable.
Right.
They removed subjects.
They removed subjects, yeah. But
that's interesting.
Within the 48 hours, they were like, what do I do? What happens if I just don't place my deposit?
So there's an example of, so those were buyers that were second guessing their decision to buy.
But this was way back. Like this was in the middle of June.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I feel like I don't remember now, but I feel like it wasn't as bad. But it wasn't, like their issue wasn't interest rates. It was just, oh, should we do this?
I see. Yeah. Because very different considerations in a buyer's market and a seller's market. In a buyer's market, you know, there's probably not as much risk because the buyer can turn around and sell it maybe for a higher price. Maybe they want it to collapse.
Yeah.
But in a seller's market, you absolutely. Which this is market? It a buyer's market?
Well,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
The supply hasn't changed. So to me, still no. Because all of a sudden interest rates going up doesn't mean that there's a ton of supply that's all of a sudden popped up on Realtor.ca.
You know, I think there is more supply.
I don't think so.
Well,
I think
that's
maybe
interesting
in a couple.
Not,
in a couple months, people are going to start feeling the pressure, and they're, you know, depending on which lenders they have, their payments might change, and they're all of a sudden forking out much more. Their rent isn't covering what their mortgage should have been, plus strata fees, things like that. I think more people will say, okay, maybe it's time to offload, and then we'll see more. But I don't think right now people are offloading, and we're seeing an insane amount of supply on the market. No.
So it's still a good time to be a seller.
I think so, maybe. I don't know.
I think it's riskier.
But yet Kevin, as a litigator, is seeing people come in
I think
and
it's a good time
say,
to just,
can I get out of this contract?
I think it's a good time to keep selling and keep buying because we help with real estate here at FH&B.
Excellent. Excellent answer. So, Kevin, are those ones that you're seeing coming in, are they single-family residences or is this kind of condos that people bought like a year or more ago that the developer's now saying, okay, it's time to complete?
Oh, no, they're new freehold transactions.
Okay.
For a house or for a townhome or whatever it might be. But the scenario is basically the both sides, purchaser and seller, enter into a contract. They agree that there's going to be a bunch of subjects or conditions that need to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. And those conditions are generally satisfied, including financing. And then after that, the buyer wants to get out of the contract because they realize maybe they can't afford the financing because of rising interest rates. Mm-hmm. And so
We're constantly reading perhaps falling prices as well.
Yes.
So perhaps a person is going, well, do I really want to spend $1.5 million on this? It might only be worth $1.3 million next year. So.
Yes. Yeah. And I've had a couple now that have had their pre-approval for mortgages mm-hmm. change on them because mm-hmm. of interest rate changes. And now they can't afford the mortgage or they're trying to back out of a sale.
A purchase, you mean?
Of a purchase, yes. And then they talk to a lawyer.
Wow, yeah. Reminds me of, you guys are so young, but I've been through 2008, and all of a sudden we got a lot of these type of things happening back then. But what I noticed back then, and that's why I asked you the question, is a lot of it was these people that had signed up for a condo that wasn't built yet, and you
right.
put your deposit down, and then in those contracts they usually say we will tell you when you will complete, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and there's within a range, whatever.
Yep.
But it's a long time ago, and things have changed. You know, I mean, how long do those contracts usually? How long are they signed?
I just got one that has completion set at fall 2023.
Okay. So you know, a lot will happen in a year and a half, you know, and things have happened. Our interest rates have gone nuts.
Yeah.
So I'd expect we're going to see a lot of that coming in.
So as a potential purchaser for those properties, is there a way out of that deal?
Well, you're looking for things that are in the contract. Or for the pre-purchase ones, you're looking for something. If the developer
changes.
Has made a mistake, that's right, in the disclosure statement, mm-hmm. they haven't disclosed something or they haven't given you
or if all of a sudden now they have to change their strata plan, there's no clubhouse, and the size is different significantly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Significant material changes, then yes, but otherwise, no. It's funny, too, because even if you look back even a year ago, there was some developments I remember getting in. The one specific file where the developer tried to get out of the deal so they could get a brand new buyer at
the current
uh-huh. market prices. Because they were like, well, if this buyer leaves, then we can put it back up on the market and the prices have skyrocketed.
Yeah.
So we no longer need to get to, we don't need this specific buyer anymore. So I remember that came in. And I actually had a buyer that fell for their... It was a super long story, but I had very sweet buyers that just came to a lawyer way too late and signed amendments and all this.
Oh,
and they ended up increasing their purchase price for no reason when they didn't have to sign anything and didn't need to agree to anything other than what they were already contractually bound to do. So they ended up paying.
Oh, that's an unfortunate story.
They ended up paying almost $47,000 more than the original purchase price. Because the developer is trying to get more money out of them because the market went up so much.
Wow. And now we're in the flip side.
Total flip side, yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Do you ever see clients or have clients come in asking you to review the contracts before they sign them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
People that, with or without realtors. I have I get some people who are working with newer realtors who are more so saying, here's what I've drafted up, run it past your lawyer. So I get a lot of those. And then I have a lot of private deals, so a lot of people that just don't want realtors involved whatsoever do up their own contracts and then want to run it past a lawyer before they move forward. And then we get a lot of people that have the subject to legal advice and accounting
right.
advice, and they want you to take a look prior to
right.
subject moving.
That actually surprises me, but
really?
I guess I deal with the situations where nobody's taking a look at the contract before signing.
A hefty amount of files come in where subjects are done and removed and where they're contractually bound to move forward.
Oh,
and they
Still, a lot.
And they still say, oh, is this okay? It's like, yeah, okay, well, I'll take a look. And I can tell you what title looks like and what, you know, restrictive covenants are there, what your building scheme is like. But at this point, you have to complete. So.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, great point, Tanveer. So thank you, Kevin, for bringing the litigator's perspective forward. And until next time.
FHMP lawyers are rooted in community and ready to help. Send your business law questions to podcast@fhplawyers.com.